Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills news with a UK twist. And it's a clean sweep, 6-0 for the first time in the franchise history that the AFC has been defeated by the Buffalo Bills. Matt and Alex joining me. How are you doing, Alex? How are you feeling?
How great was that, right? Oh, actually, I forgot something. I got to move this over here. I got the Josh Allen bobble for Christmas. So that looks great.
Then pick it up, put it to the screen, and then put it away.
Oh, you know, you could see it right there. That's fine. A little bit.
Zoom.
No? No. Okay. All right. Well, it's there. It makes me feel better.
See another one in there. That's the only other one I can see, the one next to it.
Yeah, it's Jack Eichel. Yeah. I'm just a little bit excited for Sabres hockey to come back too. Good stuff might happen over there as well. So, yeah, what a great game. What a weekend. I think what I said best on Twitter was it's like watching a TV show that your wife wants to watch where you're only kind of half watching, but you're just mostly on your phone on Twitter and Instagram. And that's pretty much how I handled the game yesterday. I wasn't worried about it at any time. I didn't need the win. I didn't need the stats. I didn't need anything other than staying healthy. So I really just enjoyed the game on Twitter because what a game it was to enjoy, right?
Yep. And the people agreed with me. I think I saw a tweet on there that you agreed with me. The rest of the starters, the idea of winning is fun. Momentum.
Winning is fun. I guess you get to, what is the saying? You get your cake and you get to eat it too. You know,
we were able to
get momentum. The starters got your momentum. You know, they got their game day routine. They got their snaps. They got to feel good about the game. They got some, they got time. They got the whole first half and then they got rested, which I wanted. And then we continued to pour it on. So, it's been a season for you to be pretty much right all the time. How about that? I'll give you that.
13-3, I predicted. Yep. Momentum, predicted.
Yep.
Take him off at halftime, predicted.
All right, this guy over here. Can't wait to hear you.
This hasn't gone yet, so this is
that doesn't look good.
It's not going to go until they lose. Which, to be honest, I will admit, after the first couple of series, and especially when Josh threw that interception, I actually did think we were actually going to lose. No, I was actually getting the stuff ready to actually have a shave.
I mean, I did say that we were going to lose in the preview, but in no realm of possibility could I imagine that we would score three touchdowns in the second half with all of our backups. But before we directly break down the game, I just want to say real quick, on Saturday, we reached out to Bills Mafia on Twitter and said, hey, we are second last in the UK in Twitter followers among all of the AFC UK teams. And Bills Mafia showed up. We are now eighth, I believe. We've more than doubled our Twitter following. So
3,189.
Round of applause. Thank you very much. Let's keep it rolling. It's great to get that kind of recognition. So
can we get 5,000 by Super Bowl?
I can imagine that if we get some W's on there, people will be looking to join the UK Bills Mafia for sure. So yeah,
but
with that optimism, we do have a game to break down. We'll discuss it briefly. We'll hit the talking points. I mean, this really isn't something that we need to spend 40 minutes on. I think What a laugher this one was, honestly. I mean, from a team who didn't need to really do anything, we did everything. And for Miami, a team that needed it, really just, I mean, they showed up, but maybe they were nervous. I mean, I don't know what it was.
Well, I'm still not sold on Tua yet. That's all I can say on that.
I mean, Allen's rookie year, nobody was sold on him, you know? I mean, the biggest thing about Tua is the league and the Dolphins fans are acting like he's it already. You know, they're not giving him that rookie leeway. They're saying, oh, yeah, Tua's going to be better than Allen. Like, how could you even say that? I hate it when people say things that clearly shows that they don't watch the games.
Yeah.
And for anybody to say Tua over Allen right now, and we got a lot of comments from Dolphins fans saying Tua over Allen right now, you're nuts. Insert laughing gif here. I mean, are you crazy?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I can understand. He was the fifth overall pick? Was he third? Sure. I don't know when they picked him. But he come with a reputation. Down at Alabama, okay, a couple of years. But there was obviously saying, oh, we don't have the supporting cast that Josh had around him and all that. But it still doesn't make a difference when you're someone like that. You've come from Alabama rather than Wyoming. You've played your skins out for 2 years at Alabama, the best college team in the country. Go in into a situation where you've got Fitzpatrick there to show you the ropes and all that. You really can't say he's actually struggled to develop. I mean, he's had some good games, he's had some bad games. This one is like a deer lost in the headlights.
Yeah, I mean, three
interceptions.
He totes a good win-loss record, but his personal stats aren't pretty. Possibly, I mean, it's crazy because before the game, I can't fault a team for having confidence. I mean, their fan base was confident coming in because they thought they were going to play the backups for more than they did. But even then, I mean, Tua showing against our backups was that of a rookie. And then the excuses started to pour in. Oh, well, he's coming off the injury. He doesn't have receivers. Chan Gailey sucks. Know what you have before the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need to see your tears after the game. I enjoy them. I will bathe in the Miami Dolphins tears for forever.
I think we all will, to be honest. You know, I think we all.
Harder.
Well, it's what was it? It's his record against the Dolphins. What was it? It's now what, 5-6-1 or something like that?
Yeah, I saw clips of that Charles Clay drop. It wasn't exactly a Hail Mary because I mean, he was wide open. He drops it in the end zone. So I think that was Josh's only loss against Miami.
I mean, he's 40 in the six quarters that he's played against him this season. He's 42 for 55, 639 yards, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, a 76.4% completion rate.
Mm-hmm. It's another example of Josh being able to dissect a top passing defense.
Against Brian Flores' defense in 4 games, 1,203 total yards, 13 touchdowns, 1 interception, 2 AFC Player of the Weeks off of it, and 4-0.
Yeah, no, it's just fantastic. And it's something about how, like, we account for 26% of all points scored against, like, Miami this season.
Yeah.
It's
I think
we talked a lot on Twitter about who we want to play. And at the I've been saying, like, I have the utmost of confidence in this offense to be able to play against anyone. You know, it's just that's how good and how we're firing on all cylinders. It's fantastic. I mean,
yeah,
455 total yards with our backups playing 2 quarters. That's unbelievable. You know, you wouldn't think that. We only had 1 sack allowed. This offensive line is so good.
And I would say it was our weakness. But as I say, it's continuity. Now they've actually, obviously, when they bring back Ford, Botka's going to go. Do you then look then at the offseason? Do you do Feliciano, keep that five?
Yeah, I mean, you could say the run blocking is a weakness, but I mean, their pass blocking is I mean, I don't know what the stats are, you know, how they grade or rate out, but I mean, I'm willing to say that's a top 10 unit for sure in pass blocking. Has to be.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's you're looking at it. I mean, let's say Gabe Davis finally hits his 100 yards game
on two catches.
Yeah. Obviously, McKenzie had himself a day, and he was one that I actually, when we did our roster preview, I said he would be in that team and he would make a difference this year, and he's made a difference this year.
Oh, yeah.
He's got your team's touchdown that you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You're happy that you've got your special team's touchdown.
Yes. Yeah.
All you need now is your big man touchdown, which
I really don't know why they didn't try and force that in there.
I don't know why.
You know, they got Williams, his two rushing touchdowns, so that was really great to see. Good for the kid. I would have loved a play action there to one of the offensive linemen. That would have been nice, but you know, in a game where you put up 56 points, you can't really be picky, right?
Well, I was wanting 60. I was hoping on that last drive they would actually just rub it in and just go for 60.
Well, did you see the Dolphins fans being salty at all? They were like, running up the score, classless. What do you want us to do?
Yeah.
You want us to just run the ball and go three and out and punt the ball back to you?
Mm.
That's not how you play football. It doesn't matter what the score is.
Yeah.
We were able to do what we wanted. Hey, if you're going to be mad at us for running up the score, be mad at your defense for not showing up.
Well,
that's how that needs to get discussed.
I mean, I didn't. What was it? Shaq Lawson was supposed to have a really good game this year. I mean, Van Ginkle.
Shaq Lawson was one of their top players.
Oh no, I think Lawson did play. I think I did see him out there a couple of times. I didn't hear his name called.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear much about him. Oh, I dropped my phone.
He's done what?
I'm back.
But no, they had pretty much all their starters out. Carl Van Noy, Van Ginkle, Baker, Jones, Wilkins, Davis, Howard.
What a name.
What?
So Van Ginkle. It's so Ace Ventura, you know?
But no. You know,
if Shaq Lawson played, he's not on the stat sheet.
No, he. I know he did play.
Okay.
So I saw he was listed. He was listed, and I did see his number pop up when people were running past him. But he didn't record a sack or a tackle.
No, nothing like that. Yeah. Oh, Matt froze. Well, Matt gets sorted out. I think one of the important things to talk about is penalties and how it hasn't been an issue these last few games, which I think is fantastic. We 3-for-16 this week, and last week, 3-for-27. So we talked for ages about how penalties have been an issue, penalties have been a problem. And here we are talking about how penalties, now they seem to have cleaned it up. Sure, it's only 2 weeks, but progress, right? And that's what you want to see. So we'll sort out all technical issues, try and get Matt back in here, and he can comment on the injuries. All right, we found Matt. Matt's back after the technical issues. Oh, now he's having some personal issues.
He's dying. Excuse me.
Oh, what a pretty dying show we're having today.
It's the medication. Medication's killing me.
Medication's supposed to make you better. That's usually how science works on medication. But whatever you want to say there.
Slipping and twisting your knee, your bad knee, your medically bad knee in the bath, that actually doesn't help.
No, that just means that you're a clumsy mother. So, what I said without you was penalties, only 3-for-16 yards this week. Last week, only 3-for-27 yards. Can you say they've cleaned it up, or is that just two good weeks?
I think it's just two good weeks. I mean, I think a couple of them were obviously declined. you had that one, a couple of them were bogus ones. I mean, that Josh Norman, I think, the one he had got called pass interference third or fourth quarter. I saw nothing on there that was a pass interference call on there. Maybe on a couple of other ones, there may have been illegal contact or pass interference that weren't called. But I don't, if we get another couple, if we go through the playoffs with limited penalties against us, then I would say that they've cleaned it up.
Okay.
I think with the teams we've obviously Patriots, Dolphins, we've run that score up. We've actually just started putting the pressure on them that they're making mistakes. We're then in a position where we're calm. We don't have to rush anything. So we're not then giving away those stupid penalties. If we see ourselves losing part of a game and then penalties come in, then maybe, yes, it is a case that they haven't got it under control and it may just be two games that we're running away with it, that we don't have to give away these stupid penalties.
Yeah, so it's 2 weeks in a row where we only have three penalties, but in the Denver game, we had 8 for 75. So, you know, hopefully the trend continues and we don't really get hurt next week on penalties, because you really can't have that happen in the playoffs. But what were you trying to say when you cut out? What was your talking point there?
I was talking about obviously these backups and how they've had a good game, and kind of obviously I was worried a little bit, especially when the first drive of that second half, Miami actually just threw it all over the place and actually got down for the touchdown on there. But I mean, Dane Jackson had a good game. Even Josh Norman probably has best game as a Bill. I mean, Dean Marlowe, everyone, he's a Carolina guy. He's a perennial backup. He came in and nearly had a hat trick.
Yeah.
Of interceptions. So I just loved his reaction when he missed that third one. You could actually, because obviously with no fans in the stadium, you could actually hear him scream and shout and bang the ground on there. But
I mean, the game is clearly over and they're still putting their heart out there. That's what you want to see. These guys have no quit in them. It's beautiful to see.
I mean, it's good. I say we've got this depth now. I mean, looking at it, to say Antonio Williams comes in first actual NFL game, and he goes 63 yards on 12 carries, two touchdowns, had a 20-yard catch and run, and he looked a lot better than Singletary and Moss did.
Yeah, especially when season. You know, the Dolphins, you know, they know that we're going to try and run the ball. We don't need to be throwing the ball, and they weren't able to really stop. They weren't. In a day where they weren't able to stop anything, you know, there's really not much to break down, because we just had our way in every facet of the game. Seeing Barkley throwing bombs to Davis, like the balls on your coaching staff, and you just love to see it.
I mean, 23 pass rushing attempts for what, 60, 70, 68, 71. 78 yards, obviously, with Barkley actually taking a knee a couple of times.
Yeah, 78 total rushing yards, 377 passing yards on 64 plays.
Yeah. So that's showing the, let's say, offense, starters or not, we've got a team that can actually get there. I mean, to be honest, I still, and this is going to be a take that maybe we'll talk about in the off season, and it might get some talking points now. I don't think Matt Barkley is a serviceable backup.
I knew you were going to say that. Obviously, you're right. You're right. I mean, in a week where we saw what Nate Sudfeld for Philly, whoever that guy is for the Rams, whoever that guy was for Arizona, you know, there's not a lot of serviceable backups in the NFL, you know? So we got a guy who knows the system, who is a great teammate.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's really all you want in the backup, because if you're putting your backup in, you're not really expecting to win. I think that we have this idea because of what Frank Reich was able to do for us. But backups, you're not going to have a guy come in and be able to get you wins. You know, the Jalen Hurts coming in for Carson Wentz is a rarity. You know, I mean, you just don't have very many teams that can do that.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He can, on his day, he can be a good quarterback. There was plays in that passes in that game where he actually made it look easy. But if Josh were to go down in the first quarter,
don't even say that.
I wouldn't. Oh, you and this super. I said it last time, and nothing happened to him.
Well, look, I mean, Barkley was 46%, so obviously he was off just by a little bit. He was hitting receivers' hands, but he was off on a few throws to McKenzie, to Knox. So, yeah, he's clearly not a guy who can come in and get you a win if Allen goes down. But, like I said, for what his job is in a support role, does it well. I think the most important thing to talk about in this game is the coaching staff's trust in anyone who's on the field and the coaching staff's ability to call a game that can get you a win no matter who the players are. So we're talking about a system that completely and utterly works. I mean, this is a system that gave Diggs his best season, the best season of any Bills wide receiver ever, Allen's best season, the best passing yards and passing touchdowns season for a Buffalo Bill ever, Tyler Bass, his best season and the best points scored of any Bill in one season in history as well. So this coaching staff, they don't care who's playing. Hmm. They're going to do all of the right things. That's playoff caliber coaching right there.
Hmm. I mean, 1,535 yards on 127 catches. I mean, it was looking at one point that Kelce or Tyreek Hill were going to get the leading rushers on there. But another one I've seen is that this season, the most receiving yards by the wide receivers, Diggs and Beasley at 2,426 beat Metcalf and Lockett by nearly 200 yards.
For tops in the league?
The top in the league. Through 16 weeks. Okay, this is through the 16 weeks. Mm-hmm. Diggs and Beasley had 2,426 yards combined between them. Metcalf and Lockett had 2,246 yards between them. DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, the Panthers, 2,148 yards. And Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, 2,135 yards. That's your top four most receiving yards by wide receiver duos.
And now John Brown is back.
Mm. Exactly.
And we saw what Isaiah McKenzie can do. I mean, there's more trust in him kind of now more than ever. Yeah. And then you're possibly adding Kenny Stills. We still don't really know 100% if he's literally signed or not.
Well, no, I think he has.
He's acting on Twitter like he is.
If he passes the protocol, he's signed. He's all but signed barring the COVID protocol.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
This wide receiver core, we went from 2 years ago to the worst in the league to now arguably the best in the league, the deepest in the league.
Mm.
It's just,
this
has been, regardless of what happens in the playoffs, this has been the most fun any of us have ever had. You know, I mean, those of us born in the late 80s, I mean, we weren't really cognizant of the Super Bowl runs. I mean, this is just fantastic to have all of the dedication that we've put in to this team that sucked for so long to finally, like in 3 years, to go from, you know, nobody cares about the Bills to how many primetime games are we going to get next season? You know, I mean, this has been a wild ride. It's harder for fans, you know, McDermott's his calling, humble and hungry. We're all hungry. For the fans, for Bills Mafia, it's a little bit harder to stay humble because teams love to shit on us. Teams fans love to shit on us. Nobody cares about the Bills. That's what everybody says. You know, they're all saying one and done in the playoffs. I mean, we don't have to be humble as fans. No. You want to talk shit, we're going to talk shit back when we bury you. So let's just keep that going, you know?
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Well, that's the first time I've seen you get that angry before.
No, it's not.
Well, no, no, I think it is, especially really? On the show.
It's not angry. It's just we've arrived and nobody wants to admit that. Well, a lot of people do, but it's just I don't like other teams' fans who are blind to reality. I'm a very realistic fan. When we were bad, I wasn't going to ever say 16-0. You know, I'm not that kind of guy. But
yeah,
to acknowledge how good we are now, and for someone to say two is better than Allen, for someone to say, oh, this team is one and done in the playoffs, you're not paying attention. And if you're a football fan and you're not paying attention, shut up.
Yeah.
That's all.
I think I got more mad
at you in our preview show when we were talking about momentum versus resting, even though you turned out to be right. I wouldn't say you were right. I say you got away with it.
I did not get away with it. I was right. I was right.
Okay. I was right. If the Chiefs bomb in their next playoff game, then I'll admit resting is wrong.
Yeah, they got.
If the Chiefs look rusty, I'll admit that resting is wrong. Okay.
Who would they have? They'll probably have Baltimore.
I think Pittsburgh can beat. I think Cleveland will lose to Pittsburgh. So I'm thinking either.
Yeah.
If Pittsburgh wins.
Chiefs will get the lowest seed on there. So
they would get Baltimore or Tennessee.
Yeah. Then Pittsburgh would get Tennessee.
Baltimore, Tennessee is probably going to produce the winner to play the Chiefs. We would play Pittsburgh or Cleveland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm
fine with that. You know, I mean, we're not doing our preview show, so we're not going to talk about the Colts. We're not overlooking the Colts at all. But the Chiefs, whomever they play, is going to be good. That's what the playoffs are. So if they look rusty, though, it doesn't matter. They're supposed to be the best team in the league by far. If they're rusty, I'll admit that resting is wrong. So that's all I got to say.
Okay, so even if they win and they're rusty,
I will say that resting is wrong because they weren't firing on all cylinders. But if they do fire on all cylinders, then resting can work as long as you're well coached, and we know that we're well coached.
Okay, so we've got that recorded now. This is actually on there that if they are rusty but they still win, momentum and resting is not a good thing. Alex says,
hey, this has been a year where I've said, prove me wrong. I want to be wrong. And I've been wrong a lot this year in my predictions. And I'm very, very happy to admit that because it meant that everything that I'm skeptical about is being proven wrong. So
yeah,
I'm fine with
that. So on that note, well, I got anything to close up with?
Hell of a game. A lot of fun. That was great. The real season starts now. So we'll have the Colts preview show coming very soon.
Yeah. So on that note, thank you for everyone that's been following us. Keep following, keep in the follow button, subscribe button, the like button,
share button.
Why do I always miss the share button? I thought I said the share button.
It's the most important.
I'm trying to say now.
Most people already do follow and like what we do, so they can't do it again. Okay. If you follow
retweet
us already,
spread the word.
You follow us already, hit that share button, hit that retweet button. We're growing the Bills Mafia crazy over here in the UK. Let's keep that going.
So at UK_Bills on Twitter, at RWBB_podcast on Twitter, UK Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook and YouTube. And for Alex, this is Matt saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.